I don't know why I have these thoughts sometimes. I'm sitting in the chair while the person's doing the reading, and I'm thinking about the past and related to the homily and to the readings here. And I was thinking about, we all have different perceptions. We all don't see the same way. We're all very different. We know that, I hope. And we respect each other's differences. And I was thinking about, have anybody here taking there's all kinds of personality tests out there. And I can remember, I was sitting there thinking about, remembering my Rorschach test. Did you have anybody here take a Rorschach test? Do you even know what a Rorschach test is? You all do, I hope, okay? I had to take one in order to enter priesthood, in order to enter the Dominican Order. And I went down to Providence, Rhode Island. I was living in Vegas, and I went, and I was going to join the Dominicans. And anyways, I was in the East Coast. So I went back, because I went from Boston area. So I went back to Providence, and I had to take the Rorschach test. And what I saw, I couldn't tell them. I don't know if you know where I'm going to go with this, but I couldn't tell them what I was seeing in those clouds and in those formations. I thought if I said so, they'd think I was a pervert. So I kept my mouth shut, and I tried to explain seeing other things other than anatomies and stuff, you know? So I took the test, and I didn't know whether I passed it or whatever. So, but I got called on it in novitiate. When I entered the novitiate, we had the psychiatrist come, because I had to take an exam, and I had the psychiatrist come and explain, well, Richard, there was things there that you didn't say that were there, but were clearly there. And they had to do with body parts. And I said, well, I didn't want to say anything at the time. He said, well, you know, so we talked about it, but it was interesting how, and then I've taken other tests, other personality tests. And then, I won't go into our novitiate year, but there was 11 of us, and we're all very different guys, all from different backgrounds, different places, and all that. Each of us is different. We know we're different. And not only because we look and act differently, but because we tend to see things differently. We tend to perceive things differently. And one of the signs of maturity, that you are mature in spiritual life, is that you can take in multiple perspectives. It doesn't have to be just your own. That you can honor another person's perspective of the world and of life, of God and all the rest of it. It doesn't have to be yours. It can be totally different, and you can respect it and respect them and their perspective. And the more you can do that, the broader you are in that, the more holy you are, the more you are like God, because God takes all of our perspectives together. God does not reject anyone's perspective, but it respects all, because everybody comes from God. We're all here as a piece of God, as I say, a part of God. So, we all have this personality makeup. And some of us are like Thomas in today's gospel. We try to look at people and situations logically. And we regard proof as the only legitimate support for truth. If something isn't reasonable to us, it doesn't have much meaning to us at all. And this is, I think, the mistake of modernity. That facts are what count. And so you have to have physical proof of things in order to be true. That's modernity. And it didn't work, and it doesn't work. On the other hand, some of us are more, I find people more romantic-minded. They're geared toward optimism. Everything looks rosy through their rose-colored eyes. And others see life from a more, I call it a military view, point of view. They like orderliness. They like law and order. Everything in its proper place, and punishment for those who don't march properly And we are usually hard workers, very businesslike, and we expect others to be the same as we are. And then there are those who live sentiments. They take everything emotionally. You know those people take everything, maybe you are one, who takes everything emotionally? Feelings define truth, and moods determine priorities. Not receiving an anticipated call from somebody, you know, from a friend, for example, you feel betrayed because they didn't call. Where do you fit in the above? Because all of them are legitimate ways of getting through life. And we have, all of us have different ways, and they all work in varying degrees, of course, and mixtures for us who use them. Today's gospel, however, indicates that there is another perspective of out of which we can look at life. There is another perspective which we can look at ourselves and we can look at other people. The story about Doubting Thomas suggests that we use faith as a basic way of seeing. At first glance, we might think, well, this is obvious. I mean, after all, we do live, we do believe in God. We believe in God's word. We believe we have faith in the teachings of Jesus. We have faith, perhaps, in the church's teaching. The point, though, is that faith isn't all that obvious. We say we have faith, and what we accept, and we accept a lot of things on faith, we say. But few of us, I think, accept faith as a specific way of relating to life, to ourselves, and to others. We say we believe faith is important, but we don't use it in a concrete way to handle the practical realities of our everyday life. We don't. It's amazing. Jesus proposes faith as a legitimate way of life, as a dynamic system for living. He was a man of faith. Faith follows the intuitions of the heart rather than the logistics of the mind or willpower or emotions. And according to Jesus, faith works miracles and moves mountains, a claim verified by experience. Just think about it. The most successful leaders and revolutionaries in history were people who believed in their cause, despite all the logic, and no matter what the odds against them were, they believed in their cause. They had faith in what they were doing. And teachers who have significant impact on students are not the teachers who impose the strictest discipline on their students or have especially gifted pupils, but rather those teachers who believe in their students. And then the student shines once the teacher believes in them. People with powerful personalities are basically those who believe in themselves. They believe in themselves despite the fact that they know and they can acknowledge their flaws and their mistakes and their handicaps and their weaknesses, but they still have a belief in themselves. You see, faith makes things happen. And I'd like you to consider using your faith as a means of improving the quality of your life and the lives of the people around you. I ask you to experiment by trying to see people and happenings in your life. Try to see those things happening through the eyes of faith. Not seeing them through the eyes of the mind only, through logic or through emotions or military point of view. Try seeing the things that happen to you in life through the eyes of faith. Faith works when we strive to find light in darkness. Faith works when we try to find hope in despair. Faith works when we try to find opportunities in failure. And faith works when we have humor in situations that can be very serious. And faith works when we find possibility in impossible situations. Faith sees life in death. A risen Lord after crucifixion and burial. My brothers and sisters, use faith to make things happen in your life. Use it in regard to your spouse, to your children, to your dreams, to your career. Believe in them. Believe in yourself. Use it during an illness, at a time of disappointment or a setback. Faith has always been one of the greatest powers on the face of the earth. We don't use it enough. Because faith creates what is believed in. So I ask you not to believe because you see, but believe so you can see.